And kids, today's a family day. And you can stay in. You don't have to go upstairs because we're going to see a little bit of everything that we saw this week. Because we were learning about the big top Bible heroes. And we chose five heroes from the Bible to talk about. So kids, you are welcome to stay. Parents, you are fine if they just walk or talk. It's fine. Today is the time for them to stay in. And the first one that we saw on Monday was Samson. So maybe you're here today and you know all the heroes that I will mention this morning. But it will help you to remember some things that maybe you missed over the years. But Samson, he was a very strong man. And he was proud of his strength. He was a big man. And God called him since before he was born. He chose him. And he had to obey God. But you know what? At some point, he disobeyed God. Not just once, but a couple of times. He did disobey God. And that was bad. However, at some point, he realized that his strength didn't come from him. It came from God. And he prayed, asking for God's help. He asked God to restore his strength, because as a consequence of his disobedience, his strength left him. And even the Spirit of God left him. But look at his prayer. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more." He recognized that his strength came from God, and he asked for help. So Samson understood that his strength came from God. This is day one. On our second day, we learned about Noah. You may be very familiar with Noah and Noah's ark. And you know what? Andrew Kingston, he helped us a lot this week. And then he managed to see the size of the ark compared to the building. And according to his maths, Noah's ark is 3 times the length of this building. So for those who doubt that Noah could fit all the animals inside the ark, you can go outside, analyze the building, multiply it by 3, and then you have an idea of the size of the ark. And we see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth.' However, there was one person there that wasn't destroyed. Actually, his family. But why did God save Noah and his family? Why was that? It's on the verse before that, actually. Genesis 6, verse 9. "Noah, he was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God." He was saved because he walked with God. He trusted in him, he believed him, and that's why he was saved. And apparently, he was the only one. He was the only one. As we talked this week, I think the earth population is around 8 billion people. Imagine that just one family is saved and all the rest is destroyed. Imagine that. And it was a destruction by waters. But God said that he won't do the same. He won't destroy the earth by waters anymore, because there is a sign. Does anyone remember the sign that shows that God will never destroy the earth by water again? You can shout.
Rainbow.
The rainbow. Yes. The rainbow. So every time you see a rainbow, I think last week was a good week to see rainbows because it was raining over and over again. So if you just looked outside, you like was very likely to see a rainbow. And yes, that's a sign that God will be faithful to us, that He is always with us, and that He will never destroy the earth by water again. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 17. So God said to Noah, this, the rainbow, is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Noah walked with God, and he was saved. Noah and his family. He walked with God. He was a righteous man. I know that we read there that everyone around him, they were wicked people. And imagine when they look at Noah and he was building a massive boat. And apparently people had never seen rain at that stage. What about talking about flood? So maybe people mocked him. They made fun of him. They teased him. Maybe they threatened him. But you know what? He obeyed God. And he walked with God. This was Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Esther. Esther was there as well. And the book of Esther is a great one. If you haven't read it, I really recommend you to just go back there, because we had a good discussion with the leaders as we were preparing for Wednesday. And it is a great one. She was a queen. She lived in Persia, but she was part of the Jewish people. And at some point, the king, Xerxes, he heard from one of his advisors, a bad advisor, I have to say, his name was Haman. And then he said to him, there are some people here in your kingdom that they are not following your laws. And you know what? You should destroy them. Haman was just upset because of one man, Mordecai. And then he asked the king to punish all the Jewish people because of that. And you know what? The king listened to his advice, and he said, okay, I will follow you, I will write a decree. And he did write a decree. But Esther, she was the queen. She could have hidden that she was part of the Jewish people and just say, okay, I'm saved. I don't have to get involved in this problem, in this situation. But Mordecai, her cousin, came to her and said, Esther, you have to do something, because you are part of the people. You are part of God's people. You have to stand. You have to speak up for what is right. And you have to stand up for your people. And she did. But she did with the help of other people. In Esther chapter 4, verse 15, we see that then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Intercede for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. So they were interceding before she went to talk to the king, because she was in danger. Imagine if she went to talk to the king, and then he said, okay, are you part of these people? You will die as well. Her life was in risk. But you know what? She went there. She spoke to the king, and he heard what she had to say. And he understood that what she was saying was actually right. And her life was saved, and the life of her people, they were saved as well. There was no destruction for them at that stage. And here's a word. Do not fear. Do not fear. She spoke up for what was right, and she stands up for her people because God was with her. And her people, they were praying for her. They were supporting her through prayer. In the same way that the church prayed for the kids' club to go well, and it did go well, Esther people, they were praying for her, interceding for her, fasting for her, and it went well. It was on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, we saw a very famous one, Moses. Boys and girls, how many plagues were sent to Egypt? Can you shout that?
Ten.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, ten. So, Moses, he lived in Egypt. He was born there. And at some point, he had to flee. But God came to him and spoke to him. There was a burning bush. And God called, Moses! Moses! And he went there. And God spoke to him. God wanted to send him to set his people free from Egypt. But you know what? Moses was afraid. And he tried in many different ways not to go there. I was like, but God, maybe they won't trust that I've been sent from you. And he said, okay, just say that I am sent you. Have a look. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is this name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Moses had to go. There was no excuses. Like, he had to go. God chose him to go. At some point, he even said, God, I'm not very good at talking to people. Please send another person. And God said to him, Moses, not with these words, but Moses, I chose you to go. You know what? You will go, and I'm going to send your brother with you. But I'm choosing you. And he sent Aaron with him to set the Israelites free. And we saw this week that God gave all the instructions to him, everything that he had to do. And there were some magicians there. They were trying to copy what Moses was saying, was doing, performing some signs, but they were like performing some tricks. But at some point, they couldn't copy because they were dealing with the living God. What was happening there was not a magic trick. They were miracles. God was at work. And that was what was happening there. So we see here that nothing is impossible with God. Moses was there, but he was not alone. He wasn't performing things by his own strength. He was doing things by God's power. Nothing is impossible with God. And then we came to our last day, Daniel. So you may be familiar with this one as well. And we spoke about Daniel chapter 6, when he was sent to the lion's den. And Daniel, he was there, and he was praying to God. And some of the people who lived there, they saw that Daniel was praying to God instead of worshiping their leader. And again, they asked Darius to write a decree saying that everyone had to praise him and do not to pray to any other god. Daniel went home. He went on his knees and he prayed to God. And they saw that he was praying to God. So they went back to Darius and said, look, Daniel, you know Daniel, the guy that you like. You said that he's a good guy. He's praying to God. He's not obeying your decree. You know what you have to do? Read your decree. It says here, send this person to the lion's den. Darius, he was very sad because he really liked Daniel. But he wrote the decree. If he broke his own decree, people wouldn't follow him anymore. So they sent Daniel to the lion's den. Kids, what happened there? What happened to Daniel? He stayed alive. Yes. He stayed alive. He was there overnight. And when the first lights of the sun came, Darius went to the lion's den, and he called, Daniel, are you there? I said, oh, yes, Lord, I'm here. Oh, yeah, I had a very good night of sleep. And yes, he was alive. When Darius saw that, he wrote another decree. Look, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. He saw what happened to Daniel, that God saved him. And he wrote another decree, issuing every nation on the earth in their own language to follow the God of Daniel. We should always trust and obey God. Darius wrote a decree telling everyone to stop praying and worshiping other gods. But Daniel, he trusted God and he obeyed him. He kept on praying only to God. Nothing happened to him. But we come to a point now that Clem, he was preaching to us last week about suffering and on our series in 1 Peter. But if we follow God, if we trust him, do bad things happen to us or not? Our lives will be perfect forever. No. No, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that if we put our trust in Jesus, you won't suffer, you won't have problems with other people, or people won't persecute you because of that. Actually, when people are not happy with the word that we are sharing with them, when you are sharing God's word with them, that's a good sign. But if you are saying things and people are pleasing you and agreeing with you and clapping and very excited about what you are saying, you must stop for a moment and think about the words that you are saying. Because when Jesus was here, he wasn't loved by people. Some people loved him, yes, but he was killed because of his word, because of the message he was preaching, because of the message he was sharing. And we, as his followers, we may experience similar things. When you are with your friends that are not Christians, and you don't see any difference between your behavior, your words, and their words, You must stop for a moment and think about what you're saying and what you are doing. Because we are not called to be conformed to this world. We are called to be separated. If you're here this morning and thinking, oh, it's just a kid's talk. I was expecting the series in 1 Peter and about suffering or something like that. This is us. We saw many heroes from the Bible. And here's a message for you. I'm not there on this picture because I think it was taken 3 or 4 years ago and I wasn't there. But this picture is just to represent us here this morning. Maybe you are here and you are still investigating Christianity. You're not sure if you really want to trust and follow Jesus. Consider this message. Consider these words. Peter, in chapter 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." I'm going to invite you to reflect on your life for a moment, the way you're living your life, the way you are sharing your testimony with people, the words you say, the way you act. Just reflect on that. Do you think these things are pleasing God? We saw the example of Samson. I can say that his life was a mess, and it was. But at some point, he came back to God, and he prayed to him, and he asked for his help. It's never too late. It's never too late for you to come to God and say, "Lord, help me. I'm not doing well. I know what I was supposed to do, and I'm not doing the right thing." Or as I said, maybe you are here just investigating. Talk to the person that you came with, or talk to someone beside you and say, "You know what? I want my life to be changed, but I don't have strength in me to do that. I need something else. I need someone to help me." And here's good news for you. There is someone ready to help you. It is Jesus. As we sang, he is with open arms. The Father is with open arms welcoming you. Now is the time for you to recognize that you don't have the strength in you to deal with situations that you have in your life. You can surrender everything to God. Surrender everything to Jesus. And you can do that. And for those who are walking with Jesus already, what about your testimony? Do people know that you follow Jesus? I remember one time, I have some friends from secondary school, that was ages ago, and we have a group on WhatsApp. Some of them, we are maybe 7 or 8, I think 1 or 2 on the group knew that I am a Christian. And I don't really remember what happened, but something came to my mind. I was like, I need to share. I need to talk about Jesus to my friends. Because if Jesus is coming back, and I believe he is. And he will judge the nations. God will judge the nations. And some people will be punished because they never confessed Jesus, never professed that Jesus is their Lord. They will perish. And I didn't want my friends to perish because I never said a word to them. So I did say, I shared. I don't really remember what I said to them, but I did say some words to them. Because something struck me. Rafa, you have to do something. Have they changed their lives because of that? I'm not sure. But at least they know. They know the truth. Think about people around you. People that need to hear the gospel. People that need to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, that he rose again, and that he will come back. Have you told them about Jesus? It's never too late. You can do that. Just as we finish, I want you going home thinking about that our strength comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Think that God has promised salvation for those who declare with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And God, he is faithful, and he keeps his promises. Remember that we don't have to fear anything because God is with us. Because God is with us, we don't have to fear. What we have to do? We just have to trust and obey him. That's what we have to do. Nothing else. Nothing else. There is no works or things that we have to perform. No, this will be a consequence. The teens that are here and some of the kids, they know about the illustration that I use about the tree. That the tree has roots and fruits that come from the tree. When we put our trust in Jesus, this is the root of the tree. And as a result, the fruits will come. You will help people, you love them, you do good works, and all of that. Don't try to put the tree upside down. Doing good works, helping people, loving people, doing the right thing, expecting to be saved. It doesn't work like that. Just put the tree in the right position. Trust in God. Believe that Jesus is your Lord. Confess with your mouth. If you haven't done it yet, just close your eyes and pray. I won't ask you to put your hand up or to come up here. Just talk to God. It's between you and God. Just say, Lord, I do trust that you are the Lord of my life, and you came to save me, and I want to be saved. That's what you have to do. This is the first step. It's here, the root. And then all the other things will come from this. Don't put the tree upside down. Leave the tree as it is, as God designed it to be. I invite you to close your eyes as we pray, as we finish today. And I invite the music group to come. I think we have another song. Yeah. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the way you work in our lives, Lord. And I pray for everyone that's here this morning. I pray that because we are not here by chance, and I pray that people won't leave this building in the same way they came this morning, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in the lives of everyone here, Lord. You know our needs. You know our struggles. And you know the problems we have in our lives, Lord. And I pray that you will help us. Not solving situations in the way we want them to be sorted. But I pray that you will do things according to your will. Because your will is perfect, and we trust in you, Lord. I pray for those who don't trust in you yet, for those who are in doubt, for those who are investigating. I pray that they will surrender their lives to you, Lord, that they will understand that there is no other way but trusting in Jesus. There's just one way to be saved. I hope that they will have the courage to stop and to talk to you, and perhaps talk to somebody else, someone that's close to them, or a friend, or someone that came with them. Give them the strength to persevere, Lord. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, that you give them the strength that they need to persevere as well, to keep going, to live their lives according to your will, in a way that will please you, Lord, in a way that will bless other people, those around them, in the workplace, school, university, at home. I pray that you'll bless them, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide them. And again, I thank you so much for this last week with the Kids Club. I praise you for the lives of everyone that helped in different ways. I thank you for all the kids. And my prayer for the kids is that they will remember your words, the memory verses, the songs, and the teachings, and everything, Lord, that it will find a place in their minds, and they will always remember about you and about the truths of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.